We're out here on the northwest side, kind of sort of near Councilwoman Angela Mansfield's district, and all kind of things are going on because city county council members currently represent areas in the city, but a lot of those areas are changing. And there's a lot of things going on in the city county council, a lot of interesting proposals, and Councilor Angela Mansfield joins me live. Good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Amos. I really appreciate it.
One of the things that has come up and it kind of hit people by surprise is an ordinance that I believe was approved by committee this week that kind of gives some rights to the homeless in our city. What exactly is this ordinance? What would it do?
Well, I think, first of all, the intent behind the sponsor's proposal was really to give dignity to the homeless, which everyone deserves. Unfortunately, I think it was a bit overreaching. It provides that if someone is displaced, that the city is going to be required to store their goods for 90 days. And nowhere in the proposal do they define what homelessness is. So in my mind, even somebody who has an apartment or a home that is evicted for whatever reason. Exactly. Which, you know, a lot of us went through this past, few years. Basically, it provides that we have to store their goods for 90 days. And there's no fiscal attached to this, which just does not make sense for a number of reasons. But I think another thing that I have a concern about is up in my area, I had a situation where a woman, I think, went through some mental illness issues and basically kind of abandoned her home for a while. She let her cat die in the house without it being fed. And I got the phone call because neighbors were concerned about what was going on there. And she had left the house. Again, the cat had been left to die. And Health and Hospital came in and issued an order to basically empty her contents and throw them away because of sanitary reasons. And I'm not saying homeless people are unsanitary by any stretch. But you do, I mean, if you're going to be storing people's goods, there's these other considerations that need to be taken into account. And this proposal does not do that. Plus, the proposal, quite frankly, just restates rights that we already have under our United States Constitution, as well as state constitution, as well as federal and state and local laws.
Is part of this also, this goes to the larger issues that we're going to be debating as a city, as a community next year in the mayor and council elections, is how do we handle a variety of situations and issues here in Indianapolis to be fair to all neighborhoods and not one neighborhood or one side of town gets all the goodies, but everything is spread around. Is from your point of view, is that the real underlying issue for next year that we have to settle as a city?
Yes, and for me in particular, I've been very concerned for quite some time. We are not funding the things that we are required to do. And the biggest one on most people's radar up in my area, in my district, is public safety. You know, we don't have enough police. This mayor came in and said that public safety was number one, yet over and over and over again, he totally neglected that issue.
We're talking with City County Councilor Angela Mansfield. You may want to get in touch with the conversation, 239-1310, 239-1310. The area you represent now and the area that the Republican map makers have shifted to you is a combination of single-family homes. It is a lot of apartment complexes. There is a good part of commercial business, the refinery along West 86th Street, Dowalanco. There's industry there. But there's also those office parks, which a lot of people don't realize have as much vacancy rates as some subdivisions. Is the issue of vacancy rates, both retail, commercial, and single-family homes, a major issue we've got to address in the city, but not all just in your district, but other parts?
Absolutely. There's been way too much focus on the downtown area and not enough up here in the areas that I represent and will be representing, come the next elections. And we've got to focus on that. We've got to take care of all of our neighborhoods, not just a chosen few.
Is it also basic city services, whether it's garbage, whether it's streetlights? In his speech Wednesday night, Joe Hogsett touched a little bit on city services and specifically mentioned streetlights that didn't work. And that's the first time I really have heard somebody running for a major office talk about that, because we got a lot of streetlights that you look up at night and it every bulb just cannot burn out at the same time.
Well, actually, in my area, there's not enough streetlights. You may be aware that most recently a woman was killed on West Lane as she was walking. I have tried to highlight that area over and over and over again, that there's so much foot traffic there. You've got a lot of people with limited incomes. You've got people with disabilities. And you often see women with their children walking along that area.
Let me follow up on that, because that the tragedy that occurred up on West Lane, one side of the street, as I understand it, has sidewalks. The other side of West Lane does not. Yet the city spent money striping the street, putting up signs to say a bike lane. Is this an example of priorities where, while bike lanes are important, so should sidewalks?
Well, I do have to give the city credit, because the new sidewalk that is there on the north side, like I said, it is brand new. But on the south side, there's not a sidewalk that goes all the way across. And quite frankly, I also believe the apartment complexes have some responsibility here. But when I come home from council meetings, I often see people walking in the dark in that area. And as a matter of fact, Monday night, as I came home, I saw a man walking in the area. I look for people because I know that they're going to be there. And the only reason why I knew he was there is he was carrying a bag, and every now and then it would reflect light. And I remember as I was going home Monday night thinking, we have got to have more street lights here, or quite frankly, street lights, period. And the next morning when I woke and I heard that woman had been killed, the first thing I thought was, I bet it happened before dawn. And the police later confirmed that for me.
And it also goes back, lack of police being able to patrol, to be able to maybe see somebody on the sidewalk, and maybe if their clothing is too dark and it's dark, pull up. And, you know, the police are, you know, talking about getting out of their car and maybe reminding the person, hey, next time you walk, maybe wear a reflective strip or something where people can see you.
Well, but again, a lot of people don't have money to buy those specialty clothing or, you know, whatever. But, you know, we as a city have got to take care of our people. And this is my neighborhood as well as anybody else's. And I did get in contact with DPW and ask that we get some streetlights in that area. And also bolder crosswalks, you know, or flashing lights to identify. There's a lot of pedestrian traffic in this area.
People are there and they're walking up to the discount stores, the grocery stores, up at 71st and Michigan Road. 239-1310, 239-1310 with Angela Mansfield, a city county council member. One of the other things as we look into, well, let me put this another way. I mentioned earlier, and you were hearing the introduction that we were making, that there's this report that's going to be coming out of a commission that Tanya Bell of Black Expo, Jamal Smith of the Civil Rights Commission. There will be, as I'm understanding, a number of recommendations both at the local level and perhaps at the state level. How serious, since everybody was talking about crime, what do we do to reduce crime? What do we do to provide opportunities for young, particularly young men and young adults of color? How seriously should we take this report, and how do we take this report out of the realm of politics so people don't say, ah, this was something the mayor did, so I'm not going to listen to it because it's the mayor?
I think we have to look at the facts. And I think also we have to look at it in the broader picture. It's not just people of color. Young people of all ages, all races, ethnic backgrounds have issues. And some don't have the guidance of good parenting. I do think that that's a big part of it. I know my son went through issues when he was younger, and quite frankly, I think we all do when we're teenagers. But I think we really do have to pay attention to the facts. And not get hung up on the politics, but pay attention to the facts, see what we can do to help each other and make this a better community.
One of the things, and I don't know whether you saw this announcement this morning by DPW, the Indy Snow Force, trying to get us all ready for snow. And snow removal has always been a complaint, particularly in the outer areas of the city. Evidently, the city has now created, and they've got it tested online, where they're going to show a map of the city and tell you on the main arterial routes when the snowplow has gone by and how long it's been since the snowplow. And I looked at this map in my office this morning, and I'm going, that looks cutesy, but do they realize the problem that's going to cause? Because people are going to be out on West 86th Street going, okay, why has it been 8 or 9 hours since the snowplow came out?
Well, it's kind of interesting because until the past few years, I didn't see much of a problem with plowing in my area. But I live right south of St. Vincent's Hospital. And I can tell you, many of us had a great deal of difficulty getting up to the hospital. I'm within walking distance of the hospital. I could have walked quicker than I could have driven a couple of years ago or this past year. And along 86th and 82nd Street, there were many times when you could barely get through. And those are supposed to be major thoroughfares. So I do hope that they will pay attention to this because I know David Sherman, who had been the previous DPW director, you know, I raised the issue of making sure that the streets around the hospital were clear because of emergencies, I mean, obvious emergencies. And David took it to heart, but I think that's kind of been dropped again.
There is a division of opinion among some Democratic city county councilors on whether using dollars from the city county budget to provide some subsidies for expanded pre-K is a proper use of our dollars. Where are you on that issue? How do you characterize other members of the Democratic Party?
First of all, I'm not debating the importance of education. It's very, very important. However, we don't even have mandatory kindergarten in our state. And I'm very upset that we're now throwing dollars, so-called found money, to pre-K when we're not addressing the things that we're required to do. We've got to take care of our own house first. So I am not supportive of this proposal.
Is this going to be, I know it passed committee this week, is this going to be a close vote when it comes to the floor, not this coming week, next week, or right after Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I think that they've now got enough votes because they've gotten quite a few in support. But many of those who are supporting it haven't really stopped to look at what the budget considerations are and the fact that we're not providing for the things that we should be providing for.
In your mind, we talked a bit about infrastructure. We've talked a bit about the other. As you see the issues next year, particularly in the council races, we know crime and public safety, that is issue number one. If you had to rank 2, 3, and 4, what would it be?
Public safety first, infrastructure second. You say three. We need to take care of animal care and control.
What is it with that? Because what I was hearing that we don't have money to buy food for the dogs and the cats that are at animal control. How does that happen that we have an animal control and we don't have enough money to go to Walmart and get dog and cat food?
They've neglected it for years. And unfortunately, the most recent deadly virus that swept through animal care and control probably could have been avoided if we had proper protocols in place, such as buying the correct disinfectant that would have killed the virus, having isolation areas where you could isolate the sick animals. Unfortunately, if you've ever been there, first of all, it's very difficult to get to.
Founded by the incinerator.
Yeah, it's not in a good location. So if we want to encourage adoptions, you know, we really need to have a state-of-art building in a place that's accessible for people to adopt and to take care of the animals. The other thing is, depending on the time of year, the Mayor's Action Center calls, usually the animal issues is either number one or number two. And the response time is terrible because there's not enough of officers. So when you've got maybe a dog on the loose that could potentially be dangerous, it takes quite a bit of time for them to come there. And when they finally get there, the dog's gone.
Do voters, do Indianapolis residents, I think everybody kind of understands public safety. They get that. Do people really understand these other smaller issues of the things you have to do to have a world-class city run well? And in order to do that, you got to pay for it some kind of way. Do voters really understand that? Is that another of the issues really educating voters next year on really what kind of city do you want? What do you want your city to do?
That's exactly right. A lot of people don't know what we're required to do. When people think of government, they kind of think of this big umbrella. But the reality is federal, state, and local governments are tasked or empowered to do different things. And people get very frustrated because things aren't getting taken care of. And I think we need to make it more clear what we as local government are responsible for.
One of the things that the council has kind of punted because there is no consensus and the ACLU is hovering, saying y'all got to be careful, is this whole issue of panhandling, particularly in the downtown area. But I'm starting to believe that on any given weekday and even weekends, there are more quote-unquote panhandlers who are panhandling outside of downtown, out on the major thoroughfares. First of all, are people in your district complaining about the people that are standing at 86th and Michigan Road or 71st and Michigan Road, or I've even seen them at 86th and Ditch or even out at 86th and Meridian panhandling?
It's interesting. Most people just ignore them. They know that some of these people are there perennial. We often see them being driven to the location, and then they get out with their ponchos in the rain and walk. It's not a big issue, and what's upsetting to me, though, is that everyone thinks it's a downtown issue. It's everywhere. But it's not. I think people are more concerned about their neighborhoods, the safety of their neighborhoods, whether or not they have sidewalks to walk to the grocery store or the drugstore. Those are bigger issues to them than panhandling.
We are in, the city is in the education business because under Mayor Peterson, he wanted the authority to create and charter schools. He's charted, and that now has been continued by Mayor Ballard. And in all probability, whoever the next mayor will continue that. 45% of all the mayor's charter schools are low-performing schools, schools that are graded by the state D and F. The other issue is, as we look at what can we do to keep kids in school rather than just, suspend them out of school just because they yell at a teacher. Should we be at a point where the city's own schools that they charter should be leaders in the effort to reduce disparities on the basis of race and gender, to reduce any kind of aspect of the school and prison pipeline, that if the city is going to be in the business of chartering schools and running K through 12 schools or even preschools, they need to be the leader in figuring out other ways to deal with student behavior than just kick a kid out of school, unless a kid is committing a serious felony crime in the school.
I don't think that we really should be in the education business. I think it really does belong at the state level as well as for the local school boards. I believe that charters should have really been used only for special circumstances. I think one of the great ones is the Fairbanks School, where you've got young people with substance abuse issues. That is a perfect example as to what a charter school should be for. Or if it's very focused, like the Heron Art School, again, very focused. But unfortunately, I think some got on this education bandwagon, and what it was doing was really hurting the traditional schools. And I think the statistics are now starting to show it. I also believe this push for pre-K is because those who push the charter schools now realize in and of themselves it did not work. I think we need to be focused more on the actual traditional schools and work to get that in a better situation. Get wraparound services. I mean, there are a number of families. I was one myself as a single parent where, I couldn't be there all the time. And so I had to make sure that I had additional childcare, available. I think, again, maybe the state needs to look at that, but it shouldn't be the local government.
Angela Mansfield, I got an email from a Republican candidate who announced they were running for city county council in one of the middle districts on the north side, not the area that you're in, I think Councilwoman Christine Scales' area. So I haven't seen an email or a note from you. Are you running for re-election next year?
Absolutely. I love serving my neighbors. Unfortunately, I'm going to be losing part of my current area because Mayor Ballard split Greenbrier in two, which I don't think was good for communities of interest. And now I'm going further west. But
you're going out in Councilor Jose Evans's district?
Yes.
And Democrats wondering, who's going to run against Jose Evans? Are you one of the ones?
I am. I actually am the incumbent. district counselor. I've lived in my home going on 25 years, and I've actually worked quite a few of Jose's existing areas because, unfortunately, Jose has not been that good about constituent services. And my attitude is to always link people up so they can get the services they need and contacts. So I've already have a lot of contacts in that area.
Councilwoman Angela Mansfield, always good to talk to you. Thanks very, very much. And you'll be hearing a lot of the candidates that are running for City County Council as we really get into 2015. We're going to try to set a record to, you know, bring to you as many of the candidates that put their names on the ballot as possible. They'll all be invited. We hope they all accept. So as we have in 2015, this giant community conversation on where Indianapolis is going to go forward. Happy holidays to you, Councilwoman.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.